Join me for a hymn sing at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 24th and Saturday, June 25th at Concordia University, Chicago. This year's theme, Hymns of Comfort. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
For his people to lose their salt, their distinctiveness, their peculiarity as his people, or as we'd say in our own day, for the church to become worldly, not just in the world, but of the world, is for her to cease to be of use to the purposes of God.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Amos.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. Do you remember that in our last podcast, God had foretold that even the lovely and the strong young folk in the very prime of life will faint for thirst? That probably was a reference to the three-year-long siege of Samaria, but it would be hard for them in the hour of their prosperity even to imagine such an end. But it came upon them for their idolatry at the northern shrines. Remember Dan, Beersheba, and Bethel. And remember, those shrines featured a number of altars for various gods. But then Amos related that he saw the Lord standing beside the altar. I think that would be Solomon's temple in Jerusalem, that altar. And God commanded even there the shaking and destruction of the holy place. And then he declared that none would escape from his judging hand. His presence would find them no matter where they fled, from heaven to Sheol, to the bottom of the sea, to the caves of the mountains, no matter where they sought to hide. His judgment would find them and overcome them. And he threatens, even if they go into captivity, the sword's going to continue to devour, since he has fixed his eyes on them for evil and not for good. Remember, too, that this frightening word of judgment is spoken upon impenitence, as the section we'll look at today makes clear. A reading from Amos, the 9th chapter, beginning at the 5th verse. The Lord God of hosts, he who touches the earth and it melts, and all who dwell in it mourn, and all of it rises like the Nile and sinks again like the Nile of Egypt, who builds his upper chambers in the heavens and founds his vault upon the earth, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out upon the surface of the earth, the Lord is his name. Are you not like the Cushites to me, O people of Israel, declares the Lord? Did I not bring up Israel from the land of Egypt, and the Philistines from Caphtor, and the Syrians from Kir? Behold, the eyes of the Lord are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from the surface of the ground, except that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, declares the Lord. For behold, I will command and shake the house of Israel among all the nations, as one shakes with a sieve. But no pebble shall fall to the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, who say, disaster shall not overtake or meet us. Amos 9, verses 5 through 10. Let us pray. Grant, we beg you, Almighty God, to us and to your whole church, your Holy Spirit, and the wisdom that comes down from above, that your word may not be bound, but of free course, and be preached and taught to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve you, and in the confession of your name abide to our end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Well, are you ready to think through God's word through the prophet Amos? Let's do this. Verse 5. The Lord God of hosts, he who touches the earth and it melts, and all who dwell in it mourn, and all of it rises like the Nile and sinks again like the Nile of Egypt. Verse 6, who builds his upper chambers in the heavens and founds his vault upon the earth, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out upon the surface of the earth. The Lord is his name. which is to say, the Pantocrator, the God and Lord who, seated upon his throne, rules over all. He's the Lord of hosts, the heavenly army, or of the stars. He's the creator of the earth, so that when he touches the earth, it melts, think like with a volcano, and those who dwell in it mourn. And when he touches it, it moves up and down in waves, like the Nile cresting and receding, think like earthquake. And the Lord built his upper chambers in the heavens and founds his vault upon the earth. Now, interestingly, St. Jerome, translating into Latin in the 4th century, rendered that he who builds his ascension into heaven and found his bundle on the earth. And the Septuagint even more intriguingly reads, he who builds his ascension into heaven and founds his promise on earth. I can't help but think of Jesus' words in John 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Or again, John 6. Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? You see, the Son ascends to the Father to prepare us a place. The home he builds is for us. He comes down to touch the earth, and indeed, it does shake at his death upon the cross, but he rises again and ascends in triumph to prepare us a home. And look at the next item, who calls the waters of the sea and pours them out on the surface of the earth. Now, what did the Lord command right before his ascension? Go and baptize. The waters poured out on the earth and bringing with them the gift of life, the promise of a place in that heavenly home. It's all amazing to think of. But if we stick with the ESV's rendering of the Hebrew, Amos's point is well expressed in the Lutheran Study Bible. As creator and ruler of all, that's Pantocrator, the Lord has more than sufficient power to carry out his threats, for he controls nature and guides human events. Accordingly, the Assyrians would accomplish God's purposes, albeit unwittingly, when they destroy the northern tribes. Verse 7. Are you not like the Cushites to me, O people of Israel, declares the Lord? Did I not bring up Israel from the land of Egypt, and the Philistines from Kaphtor, and the Syrians from Kir? This is what our Lord Jesus warns of in Matthew 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. For his people to lose their salt, their distinctiveness, their peculiarity as his people, or as we'd say in our own day, for the church to become worldly, not just in the world, but of the world, is for her to cease to be of use to the purposes of God. So the northern tribes had become, in the eyes of God, just like any other people of the earth. Having trashed the heritage of God's word that truly set them apart, they were to him like the Cushites, that's the Ethiopians, who did not actually know God at that time. Notice, too, that the hand of Yahweh not only is responsible for taking Israel out of the land of Egypt, but for bringing up the Philistines from Kaphtor, probably Crete, and the Syrians from Kir. The migration of peoples and nations is also in his hands. This is what Paul confesses in Acts 17, verse 26. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. In the church's dogmatic tradition, we confess a tripartite kingdom of Christ, a kingdom of power, in which he rules and governs all peoples, all nations, all circumstances sovereignly, and a kingdom of grace, in which he rules by the gospel, capturing hearts for Christ, and in which he can be resisted, and then a kingdom of glory, which awaits his return on the last day. In effect, Israel had removed herself from the kingdom of grace, which God had bestowed upon her with the word, but God makes it clear that no one escapes the sovereign reign of his kingdom of power. Verse 8, behold, the eyes of the Lord are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from the surface of the ground, except that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, declares the Lord. The sinful kingdom here ought not be heard exclusively of Israel, or even of Israel and Judah. He means what I suppose we might call the rebellion. when the nations of this world align themselves with Satan and devote themselves to sin. They will face the terrifying eyes of the Lord of hosts, who sees and knows, and who will wipe it out, level it, make it flat to the ground. But then he adds, except that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob. Here's the idea of remnant, of something left after the judgment sweeps through, of something that survives and grows into a whole new kind of kingdom, because he did not utterly destroy Jacob. The royal line of David that would be carried into captivity would return. Because he would not utterly destroy Jacob from that royal line, a holy virgin one day would bear a son. And so would be commenced a renewed kingdom of grace, founded on his death and resurrection. Verse 9. For behold, I will command and shake the house of Israel among all the nations as one shakes with a sieve, but no pebble shall fall to the earth. Well, you know how a sieve works. It sounds like God's going to place Israel among the nations and shake them out so that the useless, the worthless, the bad junk will fall away and only the precious will be saved. Now, the Septuagint doesn't have sieve. It has winnowing fork, which should immediately remind you of St. John's words about Christ. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Their attitude toward Christ indeed acts as a sieve. Remember how he said in Luke 12, "Do you think that I've come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on, in one house there will be five divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." Verse 10. "All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, who say disaster shall not overtake or meet us." Which is to say that the people overtaken by the judgment especially are those who believe they are safe, and they don't need to listen to the mad ramblings of this prophet God sent them to save their sorry hides. They would be like the people who poked fun at Noah as he built the huge boat. They would be like the sons-in-law of Lot, who laughed at the notion that their city was in imminent danger of destruction. They would be like those who scorned the church and her offer of salvation through the sacraments, not believing that they need what only the blood of Jesus can deliver. That's where we'll call a halt for today, people loved by God. Wow, can you believe it? Next time, we'll finish up the book of Amos. And while I know we've had lots of scary words of judgment and destruction, next time is pure overwhelming grace. God foretells how he will restore the booth of David and how all the nations called by his name will seek refuge in him and how there will be an abundance in those days with the hills flowing with sweet wine and how the old habitations will be rebuilt and inhabited and how his people, now including all those Gentiles, will never again be uprooted from the land God has granted them. Till next time, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.